You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And as Brad Scott said, mate, a very professional effort on the weekend. We won by 50, but at no stage did we look like world beaters. And West Coast took it up to them, to their credit, after a very tough season. But we're always that edge ahead. And in the end, run out by 50 points without looking brilliant. That shows it really was a workmanlike effort.
It certainly was, mate. We made it tough work for ourselves. And as you say, it's professional because we kind of did what we needed to do. It's kind of funny. You sit back at the end of the day and go, geez, we won by 50 points, but it was ugly. And I'll tell you what, Jay, my partner, like, not into footy at all. And she just looked at the scores and goes, you're winning by nearly 10 goals. Like, why aren't you happy? And I'm like, and that kind of puts things into perspective where, you normally would be like, we were over the moon to win by 1 point last week. And then, 50 points this week almost felt like But I will say, as much as, West Coast have been down this year, geez, they had a couple of very handy inclusions, mate. Thought Shannon Hearn in particular, coming in, he showed a lot of class down there, and he was one that, really helped them. Same with Barras. Obviously up forward, young Oscar Allen was taking a few big marks and making some problems for us. So not to take away that we really should have won that game, and we did. But geez, it certainly shows that we still have a lot of work to do before we become a side that really threatens for top four kind of aspirations, because I think we're still a fair way off that.
Yeah, well, that should be noted. There was a lot of fumbles on the night, and sometimes our positioning looked way out of whack. There was times where West Coast on the rebound, and there was only one Essendon player back, for the credit of the team, we haven't really faced that much this year. Mm. So I don't know if that was a temptation of more players being sucked up, thinking they're going to get on the end of some free footy.
Mm.
But it did look a little bit out of whack when West Coast run forward with four West Coast players versus the one Essendon. That happened a couple of times throughout the night. But as I said, we went over there last year under similar circumstances where the sky was falling on the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And as Brad Scott said, talking to the players, said last year we just thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And we know West Coast end up winning that game. So we have progressed. It's probably good in a way that they didn't have a Kennedy playing who really caused us trouble last year's game. And I think he kicked 7 goals, which was a big bulk of the problem on the night. But, great to this year to go there, get the job done. And the good thing is, mate, we're playing North this week. I don't think any of our players will come back, thinking they're a millionaire in terms of the way they played. Like, I don't think they'll have huge heads. I think they'll know there's a lot of work still to be done. And because North took it up to Collingwood for sections of the game yesterday. And we know North lift when they play us. They see us as their big rival. And as I used to say to North Melbourne fans, the Tin Rattlers, we always have a good contest with them, but I mean, they're not our biggest rivals, when you think of Carlton and Collingwood and so forth. And that always used to get under their skin because they see us as enemy number one, considering the history of the teams being so close together. But North will definitely be up for the contest. And, I just hope we're ready to perform, because if we think it'll just happen, it won't.
No, absolutely, Jamie. And I think, like you talk about, Kennedy was a big problem for us last time. I just want to, a couple of quick stats that I thought were particularly interesting. Like, their efficiency inside 50, Jamie, was 37.5%. Which, if you were entering it a number of times, you're only getting it one out of three times. like a scoring shot. That's pretty poor. And like, yes, our back six stood up yet again, but also like they didn't really have a lot of big options, James. I think Oscar Allen was the only real one that was threatening throughout the night. They had a couple of other guys who could pinch hit, like the Petrocelli and type, but yeah, he's kept fairly quiet behind, I'd have to say. Like that just shows that like we weren't going up against the quality of side. We would in other weeks, like we saw how Geelong Port just tore us apart when they were getting that forward entry, so often. So that's a big one as to why, even though they got those free runs you talked about, they just didn't necessarily make the most use of it. And they could have really taken up to us a lot more. But the other stat that really sort of stood out to me was tackles inside 50. We had 12 to their 4. So like our small forwards, even though they didn't have fantastic games, we were able to lock it in a lot more, which gave us repeat entries, which is what you really need. So they're just a couple of stats that I really liked. And another one, the last one I'll touch on, is contested marks. Now, that's been a big area of our game that you and I have critiqued, and obviously other podcasts as well. We just lack an ability to make contested marks across the ground. Nick Bryan and Draper, Draper in particular, they had some big marks across the ground, which is really good to get that kind of return. So we had 17 to their 7, which made a big difference. I think that being able to control the footy was massive for us. So we took a few steps forward, but also had a bit of a reality check in terms of where we're at, because even though it was a game we should have run away with, due to our poor efficiency going forward, our fumbles across the ground, we still had to work for each and every single score. So it wasn't just laid out for us.
Yeah, and I've got to say, mate, I know we do by the numbers later on, but I have to mention one player who I love to talk about is Anthony McDonald Tip Woody. I was just so surprised with some of his decision making on the night. When he was given the ball inside 50, it was almost like he second guessed himself at times, didn't have the space that he usually would find some to evade a tackle. He kind of wore it, and it wasn't just Tipper, but there was a couple of times where we went forward, had the ball, and it was almost like we were deer in the headlights and didn't know what decision to make.
It certainly did, Jane. Like as a forward, your sort of role is to kick goals, right? Particularly for our small forwards to pressure, to keep that ball in our forwards, and when your opportunity presents, because you don't get it all the time, to make best use of them and put it on the scoreboard. And unfortunately, he did seem like he didn't want to pull the trigger on occasion, and also he gave me a sense, watching him just gave me a sense that he wasn't at full confidence. I thought last week, even though I didn't think he had a massive impact, I thought his chase down work was really good. We didn't see that same zip. So whether it's just he got tired, or perhaps the travel took more out of him than he thought, or it's getting to that time of the year where he's worked so hard over the preseason that he's probably physically and emotionally drained from trying to get himself up game on game. All of that could play into it. We'll talk about it later. Not his best game. Still a lot to work with there, but I don't think he was alone in not being particularly switched on from minute one of the bounce.
Let's get into the game, mate. And obviously going in, we had a couple of welcome additions. Jaden Laverty coming back into the side, which was great to see, and Matt Guelfi, who had only really played a half previous to this game. Yeah. As you remember, he did his hamstring in the week of, I think it was the Gold Coast game, was it, that he played and came in as a sub and kicked a couple of goals and looked good.
Yeah.
And injured himself and was missing, and only just got back. So it's great to see those two back. And we saw Nick Bryan get his first opportunity for the year in the ones, which is great. We've kind of been calling for that, you know, particularly on the back of Andrew Phillips having quite a few weeks of subdued performances. So I felt like he deserved his chance. But, yeah, going into the games, we're heavy favourites. And the game started well, mate, when it was Kyle Langford who kicked the first goal.
So it was, mate. Yeah, really, really nice goal to get on the board. It was, to get that in the first minute was absolutely huge. And, you know, when you go up to the West, it doesn't matter where they are on the ladder, you still need to keep the crowd pretty quiet. So that was a good way of, starting that off.
Yeah, and then, you know, we, as you said, mate, you've got to take the crowd out of it. Because even though West Coast are really struggling, after the back of last week's performance where they didn't score a goal in the second half, they've had a lot of pressure on them put in the media. So you knew that their fans would be coming out and they could turn either way. So, we needed to try to put their fans into, not to be looking forward to the game. So it was a great way to start that way. And then we saw later on Sam Wiedemann have a shot at goal.
Yeah, and unfortunately, wasn't able to kick it through. And I think, you know, for him, he kind of does need to make the most of his opportunities. Like, it's good he's getting consistent games, but, you can just see him each time he missed. I think, you know, if you start the game with a miss, it gets into his head a bit. At least he's getting those scoring shots. But, very soon after, we had a good reversal of play where we grabbed the footy and we saw Zach Merritt just kick it very nicely over the top. And Mason Redman, who floated down there from God knows where. And, he was able to kick a nice easy one from 2 metres out, basically.
Yes, and the horns came out, mate, after kicking that goal.
Yep.
And I don't know if you saw this, mate, and you won't believe it. One of the papers wrote that should we be applauding a player that is, showing satanic beliefs? I couldn't believe it. But, they said, there might be a story behind that we don't know. Now, we've all heard that was one of his mate's celebrations, and he said that one day he'll pull it out.
Yeah.
But I just found it really funny that one of the papers would go with, should we be applauding a player satanic beliefs?
That paper wouldn't have happened to be the age, would it, James?
It may have been.
I would imagine so. It was a funny take on it, but we didn't have it all our way. West Coast was still trying to get up there, and we saw Jake Waterman take a decent mark. Unfortunately, he missed that kick. He kicked a few goals, Jane, throughout the night.
He had a lot of misses too. He's got the yips at the bit.
That's what I mean. Like, he could have kicked a few, and we were very fortunate he missed. And then luckily for us, you kind of made him pay. There was a couple of nice marks from Draper, and then he bombed it up the wing, and that was taken by Brian. And those two big marks, Ruckman, really important, I thought. And we're able to kick it forward. It sort of bandied around, and Archie Perkins grabbed it and snapped it through for a goal.
Yeah, and that was Archie's 50th game. So a nice little memory for Archie in his 50th to kick a goal in the first quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, though, we saw West Coast get a bit of a run on where Oscar Allen took a couple of marks. Like, they really tried to single out Zerk on Oscar Allen. And it's pretty tough. They did play as a team, and Oscar Allen was able to take the smarter lead, unfortunately, on occasion, and kick a couple. There was one in particular that disappointed me where, kicked into their forward line, and Oscar Allen flew, and Draper, who was on him at the time, stayed on the ground. And I thought he had to go for that, like get a fist in there or something. But yeah, at the end of the day, Oscar Allen was good enough to go back and kick a couple of goals. Yeah, we saw another entry up forward where yeah, there was some great vision from Stringer to hit Langford. Now we saw Stringer hit Langford for that first one, and I thought, oh, here we go again. But unfortunately, Langford, he missed a lot. Yeah, which is unfortunate. We did see that goal from Draper though, which is great to see. And I thought, yeah, because that one, what was he, about 25, 30 metres out, Jane?
Yeah. Yep. And he put that through.
Yeah, to kick it through. I thought, yeah, that was good for his confidence. I thought he was playing, yeah, apart from that, yeah, defensive effort, I thought he was playing fairly well up to that point.
Yeah, he was. And as you said, we hadn't had that combination of, you know, the two ruckmen taking marks, you know, down the line.
Mm.
And we had that earlier, you know, with Brian and Draper kicking it to one another. Mm. And, yeah, so he was having a real presence early.
Certainly was. Yeah, West Coast had a couple of more shots of goal, but fortunately they were missing, so we were very, very lucky there. And we finished that quarter 10 points up, so 4 goals, 1, 25 to their 2 goals, 3, 15. So, you know, not setting the world on fire, but still doing enough to get the job done.
Yeah, it's hard to go into games like this as a fan because you see the score last week and you think, well, we should win, you know, should really give it to this side, you know. We should be up and about after getting over the line last week.
Mm.
But it was a subdued performance. You know, we're doing enough. But we're certainly giving West Coast the number of opportunities in which they didn't take the most of. But, yeah, like you kind of felt we were doing enough to be in front, but you hoped that we'd tighten up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but going to that second quarter, it was nice to start well with a really nice snap from Will Snelling to pop one through on his left, Jane.
Yeah, that was a beautiful goal, and he didn't have much time to react. It was really bobbling around, and yeah, really put it through nicely, and would have done his confidence a world of good.
Absolutely, Jane. Unfortunately, though, not too long after, we saw Jack Petrocelli, who, as I said before, yeah, Hind was keeping fairly quiet. Yeah, get one from 50, like he had the free kick, went back and was good enough to kick it through. And, you know, it's those kind of chances where I could still keep him in with a bit of a sniff. But, look, then we, the ball sort of bobbled around for a bit before finally, we're able to, get a goal through Menzies, who took a really nice mark, James. A bit of a one-hander almost. And it's good enough to, go around to the left and kick it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where he controlled the ball with one hand and then took it with the other, and it was really nicely done. Mm. And as you said, it was on a tight angle, and he really made it look quite easy.
Certainly did. while up the other end, Oscar Allen made his look quite easy when he got his third goal. So he's getting a bit of a run on there. But fortunately, we saw an absolutely brilliant kick from Mason Bredman to hit Matt Guelphy in the forward 50. And Guelphy, like it was a fair kick, James, because I think it was about 35 out on a bit of an angle.
Mm.
It was good enough to go back and kick it. It's a great goal.
Yeah, I like the way that Matt Guelphy did that. He really took his time.
Mm.
See the level of concentration and, it gives you, he looked confident too, and he went back and really finished off. So great work, and it's great to have Matt Guelphy back.
Absolutely, James. Not too long after, Archie Perkins had a ping, wasn't able to put it through. Before we saw Draper take a brilliant mark up forward, and he was only about what do you reckon, James? 20, 25 out on a slight angle, and he muffed it. And you kind of think, geez, if we're to put the foot on the throat of teams, like you have to kick them.
Mm, yeah, that's right. That disheartens them.
Mm.
Yeah, and we were struggling to get repetitive goals. Like we're getting a goal, letting West Coast get a goal. We'll get a goal, they'll get a goal.
Mm.
When you travel in a state, you really want to put the scoreboard pressure on.
Yeah.
Sam, like there's no excuses for missing that one. So it's just his technique.
Mm.
But, we've seen that a bit. Like Sam, you can really finish off some nice goals, but there's times where you're really not sure, and you do wonder, where's this going to go?
Yep.
So it's just that technique, he just has to keep working at.
Yep, absolutely. Then we saw Connor West for the Eagles have a ping from about 50 and, looked good off the boot, but, didn't go through. Before we saw, some really nice play. Like, it was a nice kick from Martin to Guelphy, and then Guelphy's kick to Tibble was just as good, and he took that mark about, 25, 30 out. Yeah, a bit of an angle. But from Donald Tibble Woody, again, he really should have kicked that, and, it didn't look like it, Jane.
He looked a bit fatigued too. Like again, when he was lining up, it was like he was trying to calm his breathing a bit. Like, I don't know if you picked up on that, but it was like the weight of the world was on his shoulders. I thought, I wondered, how it was going to go, because, at his best, he's one of our best kicks to go.
Yep.
But, unfortunately, there was a, like, it didn't look anywhere near going through, and really, it was a poor kick, really, from a player that skilled.
Yeah, absolutely. We kept at it, and again, there was another beautiful hit from Redmond to Jake Stringer, and you thought after those couple of real disappointing misses, you just needed this one to go through, and fortunately, Jake Stringer was good enough to do the business and slotted it.
Yeah. It was a really important goal, I thought, because otherwise it would have been a pretty even quarter. I just thought we needed to at least give him something to think about, and I think that goal extended it out to 24 points or four goals. So, that made it feel like we were, on top of the quarter.
Yeah.
If we had another point after having so many shots forward, would have been quite disheartening, I would imagine.
Yeah, buddy oath. So, went into halftime, the 24 points up. So, 8 goals, 5, 53 there, 4 goals, 5, 29. So, it's good to have a little bit of a buffer, but you still didn't feel comfortable and confident, I'd say. And starting that quarter again, we had, the first four inside 50s of that third term, but just didn't make anything of them, Jamie. We were kind of wasting our opportunities a fair bit.
A lot of fumbles in there too, mate.
Yeah, plenty of fumbles, which was real disappointing. Some good runs of play, but all that means nothing if you're unable to get a scoring shot. However, fortunately, there was a really nice hit from Nick Martin to Ben Hobbs, and Hobbsy from about 40 metres out or so was good enough to go back and slot it.
Yeah. Love this kid. I reckon he's really good. He got in the way of Sam Wiedemann, I'm sure. Or Sam Wiedemann was thinking he was going to take that one.
Yeah.
But he took ownership, took the mark, and did the right thing, went back and, kicked it beautifully.
He did, mate. West Coast took it up their end and had a bit of dominance for a while. And we saw Jake Waterman kick his first after a couple of misses for them. And the ball banded around a bit. It was a miss to either side. There was that opportunity to Durham. Like, he'd done everything right in terms of getting that ball, from the pocket, running inside. And then he chose to go off the left and, missed a lot.
Kicked it out on the floor, wasn't it? So, he really, he basically kicked it straight across the ground. Just didn't have any bend on the footy.
Yeah.
So that was the problem, as you said. He was under pressure, but it's like he didn't get his angles right.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we saw a nice bit of play where, like, we moved it well up the ground, but Guelphy had to really scramble to get the footy. He was basically 2-on-1, and he just really got
lunged at it, didn't he?
Yeah, lunged at it, got a fist, and that got it to Draper, and he unselfishly passed it to Langford right in the goal square there and kicked it through. And I thought that was a really important bit of play because the Eagles had a bit of a run of control of the footy. So to get that goal on the back of that to arrest their momentum effectively was really important.
Yeah, I love the teamwork aspect of that goal. As you said, with the Guelphy knock on, and then You had Draper, who, you know, let's face it, Sam's was, you know, being not working as well as in the team. He could have thought, oh, here's go. I'll have a go of a snap at this goal.
Mm.
But he did the right thing by the team, did the handball, and as you said, Kyle just strolled in and kicked it from the goal square.
That's it. And then, his next goal came very soon after, Jane, when, he took a mark just outside of 50 and used the angle and the stand rule to get himself a bit more leverage on the kick and slam it through from right on 50. It was an absolute ripper of a goal.
Yeah, and he's been so good this year, Kyle, generating goals. Easily our leading goal kicker for the year, which is a bit surprising considering, you know, he's not usually a stay home forward. You know, he can be moved all around the ground. Mm. There's been times where he's been played back, and then other times he's on the wing, and even, you know, he's still leading our goal kicking. So yeah, fantastic, and he seems to always be able to generate a goal or two every game. So he's been very consistent. It's not like his goals have come. He kicked seven goals one week and none the next three.
Mm-hmm.
He's really done them consistently weekly.
Yeah, no, it's really good effort from Langford. So at the end of that third quarter, we're up by the 33 points, 11 goals, 6, 72 to their 5 goals, 9, 39. And going into the fourth, we saw Oscar Allen have another shot, but, you know, luckily he missed. And then we saw not too long after Jai Menzi bob up for his second.
Yeah, and that was a nice goal as well. I really like Jai with the snap. Mm. He's generally a very good kick. And, he's a player that's really building. I think he's going to have a really good career for us. Mm. There's been times where he's had low possessions and that, but his effort never wavers. And, he can kick a mercurial goal as well.
Certainly can. We then saw Sam Wiedemann get an opportunity, but unfortunately he missed. And, he looked really down on himself, James. He's just going to, back himself a bit more. And, he said during the week that, Brad Scott's given him confidence that he didn't really know he had. I guess at the moment we've got no option but to keep persisting with him in that role. And hopefully that does give him the confidence to, have a bit more surety around his goal kicking, because he certainly can kick him, but just on the day he wasn't able to. But then we saw Ben Hobbs again bob up for another goal.
Yeah, really great. How good's this kid though? He, with a lot of our midfielders out, Shield and Setterfield and Parrish, he was given a call up pretty early after coming back into the side.
Mm.
And that, I think that says to me, Brad Scott really rates this guy as a on-baller.
Yeah.
And he's making the most of it, and he's just so tenacious. Mm. We commented talking throughout the game that the opposition players like to get into him, but he's probably just an antagonizer as well, where he's they just want to get back into him. But I really love the way he goes about his footy, and the fact that he can add some goal kicking is great.
Yeah, I mean, a few times I saw Ben Hobbs, he seemed to be going at Elliot Yeo a little bit, and I thought, geez, you're biting off a bit there, but look, he's hard at it, and obviously backs himself, so I thought he was really good. We saw Langford have a shot at goal, but unfortunately missed, and Massimo D'Ambrosio, waltzed inside 50, and really could have given it off to Tipper, but he went for glory himself, and he had a right to. He had the available run, and unfortunately he hit the post, James.
It looked good off the boot, didn't it?
Mm, yeah, it did. Thought it was going to sail through.
Yeah, it actually looked like a really memorable goal because it was good transference from the back line right up the ground.
Mm.
We linked together, and he had some space on the wing, and he basically took the meterage available to him and just strolled inside 50 and really went to bite the bullet. But unfortunately, as you said, it touched the post and, it wasn't recorded as a goal.
That's it. Had another one that wasn't recorded a goal, James, was when Hobbs had another shot from goal from about 50 out, and you know, he's launched it and it looked good. It was online. And so Wiedemann, yeah, you can see why he flew for it to make a sure thing of it. But unfortunately, he's dropped the mark. He ended up being rushed behind. So, I don't begrudge Wiedemann for going for it because you're never sure in those situations. It was low, so you didn't know if someone's behind going to punch it. But you still should be taking those marks. And then we saw Will Snelling bob up and kick his second.
Yeah, again, another quick goal. And, Will, he's one of those players that needs to keep playing well to hold his spot. He certainly did that on the night, I thought.
Yeah, he certainly did. Now, getting towards the end of the game, James, we saw Dyson Happel make a professional free kick, I'd have to say. Pushing Oscar Allen, giving away that free kick there. And Allen was good enough to slot it on the siren there. It was interesting, James, because after the siren, Oscar Allen was, seemed to be having a good word to Heppel, and who knows what was said, James, but I don't know. I guess I sort of wonder whether it's, Oscar Allen was saying to him, like, geez, I really, respect you for career or something like that. But obviously,
not sure if they have a previous football relationship at all. Like, there's some things we don't know. Yeah. I was hoping the conversation was more like, hey, when the contract's up, you can have my locker. Number 21. I did see that, and it was quite a long, lengthy conversation. Considering they're not the same ages, it's not like they played junior footy together. I wondered what that was about, but yeah, it was definitely a long conversation. I thought at first Dyson was apologising because he kind of inadvertently pushed him in his throat area. I think I could see Dyson say, oh, I'm really sorry, mate, I didn't mean that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just went from there. But it was quite a lengthy conversation.
Yeah, well, I'll hope for your version of events, James. certainly other people have read it that way as well. Probably say, oh, what's Brad Scott like? But who knows? But in any case, we ran out 50-point winners, so 14 goals, 12, 96 to there, 6 goals, 10. And I will say, James, like we applauded our goals, kicking the 3 goals that quarter, but we kicked 6 points, or at least had 6 points, a couple of rush behinds. So really could have made a bit more of it. But, you take the 4 points and run, over in Perth. And certainly for our WA Bombers, they've done it tough, the fans over there, over the years. So they would have been happy to walk away winners, as ugly as the game might have been.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've won over there, and it feels like that anyway. It's great that they could actually finish it off and get a win finally. And it won't be long and we'll be back there, mate, to play Freo in a few weeks' time. So hopefully that was a warm-up for that. But, as I said, it's nice. We got in front of the win-loss ledger. We're 6-5 now. We have a game against North Melbourne this week. So really good chance to solidify our spot in the 8. But as you said, it was just a workmanlike win. Just did enough. And, for a side like us, percentage could be important. So I somewhat think we missed a bit of opportunity to add a few more percentage, but I guess for where we're coming from, we just want to bank the win.
Yeah, absolutely, James.
Yeah, when we're good enough to just worry about percentage, we'll do that. But for now, let's just bank the wins and, load up for next week.
Bloody oath.
All right, mate. Well, that's our first segment. We'll come back and we'll go via the VFL. VFLW and any club news, and then we'll go by the numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast. Mate, we go to the VFL. We'll go start with the VFLW. That was a bit more interesting in this terms of scoreline.
Yeah.
But, they had a great win, the girls, or the ladies, I should say. They had a nice win, and I think it was about 50 points, was it? Was it
yeah, so 34 points, James. So they won 6-6, 42 to, you know, 1-2-8, you know, against Darabin. Yeah, a really good game from the, yeah, seemed to have played it out for all four quarters, which is great. So, yeah, it was, and particularly that really running out that last quarter. So they kicked, yeah, 3-1 just in that last quarter. So, yeah, finishing it off was, yeah, very nice to see.
And, yeah, they lost narrowly last week against Geelong. So that was a good way to rebound back to the winners list.
Mm.
And, mate, I was watching the VFL men's team, obviously from the AFL app. And they played the Box Hill Hawks, who I think they've only lost the one game or something like that. But, yeah, so definitely looked like poles apart, the two-team skill level.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see Nick Cox running around.
Yeah, it was, James. You know, got a little bit of footy. I think he played three quarters or, yeah, something like that. So, you know, I think he got the 16 disposals or so in the end, James. So he was able to find a bit of the footy, which was good. But just to get that bit of run in his legs and see him out there was, yeah, good to see. Because certainly, yeah, when you hear stress fractures and stuff like that, they're pretty dicey business.
Yeah, well, he's been out for some time and, you know, Brad Scott said I've probably frustrated him. I've made him sit out longer than what he would have previously.
Yep.
But it's all in the interest of getting him long-term fit to play footy.
Mm.
And his body type is still slender. Like, you know, he's obviously put on a bit of weight, but, you know, since he started, but he's still a bit of a stick figure at times out from the side angle. So, you know, physically, yeah, he needs to be at an optimum level to, you know, you can't really carry a player who's quite frail when they've got, you know, body issues as well, like, you know, in terms of ailments. So, no, it's good that he's was there and he looked to be running quite well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of his kicking was nice and short, mate. I noticed he didn't really try to penetrate too hard with those kicks. They were safe and considered, but it was still great to see him running around.
It certainly was.
But yeah, it was a disappointing loss. I think was that our sixth loss in a row?
Yeah, it is, mate. You know, we've had a couple of opportunities and unfortunately just let him slip in the last. Yeah, which is disappointing. I mean, you know, sort of against Collingwood and then Richmond again, where we just weren't, I guess, really in the end, just weren't mature enough to, you know, put those wins away. But yeah, realistically, you look at our side, and I think there's about six AFL listed blokes out there to Box Hill's 14 or so. So, yeah, I think that the big thing that really killed us was it's lack of composure, really, and decision making. You know, we saw some mind-boggling decisions. James, like you talked about, like kicks backward. Only about 10 metres back. There was one in particular that both of us made comment about, you know, to Baldwin. It was basically at his feet and he had no opportunity to, you know, basically compose himself because, like, the Box Hill player was right on him. And, all of a sudden, you saw Marek, kick a goal for Box Hill. And you just think, little mind slips like that where you think, yeah, a more experienced player doesn't make those mistakes. So, yeah, it's kind of, hard to watch, I'd have to say.
Yeah, it was very hard to watch. But it is a good option to be able to watch the games, you know, from afar.
Mm.
You know, as you know, I live on the Mornington Peninsula, so it's a long way to go down to watch the Bombers at the hangar. So, it's really good to have the option of being able to watch it online. But, yeah, some of it's tough going and you don't get any box of chips to eat with it too while you're like you would if you're at the game. But we're going into the mid-season draft, mate. That's on Wednesday night.
Yep.
Now, We know that now Harrison Jones has been placed on the long-term injury list. That makes us potentially two picks in the mid-season draft, if we were to use them both. Depending on how far progressed they think Jaden Davey is, because apparently he's made some progress, mate, and they may want to get a game or two, you know, VFL footy into him. I'll be interested to see if we take the one pick or, you know, we have been kind of mentioned a lot of players, mainly key position players, mate, I've seen, that we've been linked to. I think there's a guy in WA, Jaden Hunter.
Yep.
We've been linked with him. He's coming back from ACL. So he sounds a little bit like the Baldwin situation when we got Baldwin into the club.
Yep.
He's highly touted junior, but having, you know, coming on the back of a long-term injury.
He's a forward, by the way, Jay. He's kicked a few goals in recent weeks, and against proper men, which just shows you, like, he's been able to mature in his body. He has more confidence in it. So might be worth that opportunity there.
Yeah, other experienced players we've been linked to is obviously Quinton Narkle, who's playing in our VFL team. I don't know the need for Quinton. Obviously, I'd like to see Essendon players stay at Essendon, even if they're VFL players. But, I think if in Narkle's case, he'd want to be playing senior footy. And if we get Parrish and Setterfield back, after the bye, I just don't know how much time how many games he'd be needed. The other player with experience is Oscar McDonald. Apparently Sydney are eyeing him off, mate, so we might not even have the opportunity to. But he's obviously 27 years of age, played for Melbourne and Carlton previously, and I think he's currently playing for Williamstown. So, it'll be interesting to see which way we go. We probably thought, we need some key position depth, more in defence than forward, but it'll be interesting to see which way Adrian Dodoro goes. There's a couple of half-back flankers that Adrian loves to
turn into mids.
So there's a few players that we've been linked to like that too. So it'll be really interesting to see, if we, one, use two selections and, which kind of player we do select, going into that mid-season draft, because we've had some quite good success stories out of it. Pretty much from the first year with Will Snelling and, now we know Sam Durham. So we've had a few wins from it. It'll be interesting to see which way we go.
Yeah, I must say I'm with you, Jane, with regards to Narkle. I mean, I think he's been really important for our VFL side in terms of leadership and all the rest of it. I mean, we saw how important he was for the Indigenous celebrations. That was actually sort of had a big input into the dance and getting the two teams together for that, which is fantastic. But in terms of on-field, he's been getting a fair bit of the footy, but he has been setting the world on fire there. So I personally, and in terms of his, like, a point of difference would be, like, elite kicking. If he had elite kicking, you bring him in straight away, but I don't think he is, Jane. Like, he can find the footy, he's got a read on it, so he could be useful to A side. But at, what is he, 25, 26, Jane? He's 25. I don't see the need for it. Whereas, that Jaden Hunter, like, he kicked 5 on the weekend, Jane. That's a big one. Personally, I know we do have Zach Reed and Cox and Stewart, if he's still alive. That's a pretty poor call. But we keep hearing about his injury, but don't hear much about him.
7 weeks, mate. They say 7 weeks away.
Those kind of guys, I'm not sure if they're mature yet. If there is someone, a mature back, and I haven't heard about mature backs really that are sort of ready to play AFL footy. You hear about more forwards. I mean, there's one guy, Jack Buller. He's like 199 centimetres strong. Like he's as full forward. He can go into the ruck. So you could see a use for that kind of guy, because I think, you know, with our list, you look at, you know, Phillips, I don't think he'll be around, you know, post the end of this season. Nick Bryan will want to be taking that second ruck position. So we need someone in the wings, and Jack Buller could potentially fulfill that need if we decide to go down that way. So, yeah, I'm sure whoever we pick, we wouldn't have heard of him. And Dodoro would be chuffed with that person still on the board at that stage of the selection. But
well, he actually had him as number one, mate.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, equally, I wouldn't be surprised if we only took the one, if one at all. I could see a scenario where they go, look, we don't actually you know, see anyone we really like out there. We'd like to keep the opportunity to give you know, Jaden David the opportunity to have a game at the end of the year. So, yeah, I guess we'll wait and see for Wednesday. But, yeah, it will keep us interested until then.
Now, we have recruited from the Richmond VFL team, as you know, from Gareth McDonough, who wasn't a success story.
Yep.
He's actually back playing with the Richmond VFL team. And also Sam Durham came from there. But one player we've been linked to there is named Luke Teal. He's a running halfback flanker, 189 centimetres, not 80 kilos. So, yeah, he might be one that, if they go down the tried and true method of taking from the VFL of Richmond, Luke Teal, remember that name. But, yeah, we'll wait and see for Wednesday night. But I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, it might be a non-event for us, but it might be a night where we actually add some support. So, you know, you've got to embrace that.
Absolutely.
Mate, other news. Well, we got an email from, you know, from the rooms. And we got an update from Josh Marnie. And he mentioned that Peter Wright is knocking the door down and is pushing for selection for either the North Melbourne or Carlton game. So it'd be great to see Pete back out there. I'm sure Sam Wiedemann would love to see Peter Wright there, because yeah, he'll get the second best key defence play, imagine. So, yeah, it'd be really good to see Peter Wright back. And, yeah, I'm really hopeful that it might even be this week.
Yeah, well, that'd be pretty exciting. But, yeah, I guess... yeah, when we started the season and, you know, we found out right on the eve of it, really, that he wasn't going to be around for a while, it was really disheartening. But we've been able to manufacture the scores. But having him back would be so important for us, yes, for Wiedemann, but also for our smalls to really bring that ball to ground and bring them into the game. It'd be huge for us. So, you know, I'd love to see him back, the big bloke. Yeah, so let's hope he's fit and firing, ready to go. But if not against North, it's promising to see he's on the way to return in any case.
Yeah, it'd be great to see the number 20 back out on the ground. Mate, is it ready? Are we ready to go by the numbers?
Yeah, look, let's buddy crack into it, Jane.
All righty. All right, so let's go, as always, when he plays. Number one, Andrew McGrath. I thought he played a pretty good game.
He did, mate. Yeah, got plenty of the footy again, the 26 touches. Took 9 marks, which is great to see. Got us moving up the ground as well. Had the 124 metres gained. But also had 6 intercept possessions. So I thought he battled pretty hard down there. And then they, so I thought he played a pretty solid role for us.
Yeah, and yeah, he seems to be so much more confident this year. Really hits the ball running. You know, he doesn't wait. He backs his judgment. And repels a lot of, you know, forward thrust. So it's really good to see him playing so well. Like, you know, sometimes his kicking can be a little bit off, but I think mostly he's gaining meterage for us. Like, he's not one to take too many really short kicks. Like, generally, he's taking the ball on the run, giving us, you know, 10 to 15 meters in running and then kicking it, you know, forward. So that buys you space on the ground. So, yeah, pretty good game from Andrew McGrath, I thought.
Yeah.
Sam Draper, thought he started really well, mate. You know, he took the 3 marks on the night and he had the 9 kicks and the 4 handballs. Didn't get many tap outs, mate. You might be surprised for a full game. He had 8 tap outs. So, which is quite low, which shows you that Bailey Williams is a pretty hard guy to go against. He's very athletic and jumped a bit higher than Sam, I must say. But yeah, in terms of tap work, he didn't have much. He could have been more of a presence on the scoreboard, I thought. You know, as we saw, he missed a goal he really should have kicked. And you know, if he had have had that second goal, would have made him look a bit better. But I just thought it was a serviceable game from Draper, but it started really well.
Yeah, I think he was pretty solid. And I do wonder whether I got the feeling that Brian was actually taking more of the centre bounce ruck work. Mm-hmm. And but in saying that, yeah, both of them went up against Williams, and I think Williams definitely won out on the night against those in terms of the ruck contest. In any case, but the one big thing I really liked about Drake was those 3 big marks that were contested marks, which is great to see. Would have loved to kick that second goal. I thought he really deserved it. I actually think his impact was greater than the number of possessions, as we've sort of seen from Draper a number of occasions. I thought his energy, his physicality around the ground was good. But that marking presence, even though it was only the 3 marks, I thought was really important. So I thought, played a really solid game for us.
Yeah, and I really thought he did a great job in the huddle as they were singing the team song, mate. He really had those hands clapping. So well done, Sam. And he's a real good team man. You can see that the players love playing with him. So well done to Drapes. Kyle Langford, I thought he was pretty important on the night, mate, where we weren't making the most of our opportunities.
Yeah.
He kicked 3 goals too, took the 7 marks and a couple of tackles for him. So it wasn't a high possession game, but it was definitely he made the most of his opportunities, I thought, even though he still kicked 2 behinds, but he kicked some, kicked the 3 goals, which is the most on the night.
Yeah, well, like impactful, I'd say is, when he got the footy, he made good use of it. So I thought that was, that was really important for us on a night where we weren't kicking all that straight. And it wasn't just his own goals. He had 7 score involvements in the end, had 4 contested. Overall stayed involved in the game, which is pretty important. And had the 7 marks, which is pretty big for us to make sure we maintain possession, that half of the ground. So I thought had a pretty good game, Langford, and made all the more important by kicking those 3.
Jai Caldwell continued to get midfield time in the guts, and he had the 20 disposals, mate, but only 4 kicks out of those 20 disposals.
Yep.
And some of the kicks he did have were at people's ankles. So,
yeah,
I think kicking's definitely a part of his game that could improve.
Yep.
But, he's very tenacious. Yeah, he had 5 tackles, mate, which was fantastic, and took 3 marks. But, I just think for Jai, he just needs to work on his field kicking.
Yep.
But he certainly is in and under.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Robinson Crusoe there, James. I think there's a ball use the whole team could really learn from the likes of, Ridley, Redmond, Merritt. Just lowering the eyes and hitting that target. You certainly know that Jai Caldwell's out there busting his ass every single game. He's real in and under. So some really nice, linking handball work, which is good to see. Like, he knows how to read it. The next stage is, then hurting the opposition with those possessions. So, I think he played, okay without being outstanding, I'd say. But that's about all I could rate him on.
Yeah, fair enough. And Zach Merritt, our captain, he was brilliant, I thought. Yeah. Just led by example again. Only the three tackles this week, which has been really, you know, he's had higher numbers previously, but his endeavour to tackle was still there, and he gathered 32 disposals, mate. So that was 13 kicks, 19 handballs, and a 7 marks. So a good game from Zach Merritt.
Yeah, it was. And again, he was everywhere, you know, trying to, you know, win the footy for us. And, even though he's only credited with the three tackles, I definitely saw him chase, harass, you know, quite a number of occasions. Had the 5 clearances, which was great to see. He's really had to, yeah, I suppose, lift his weight there with, you know, the likes of Shiel and Setterfield out. Had the 9 contested possessions, so had to work bloody hard for it, and had 9 score involvements. So I thought, it was a really good game from Zach Merritt. And again, week in, week out, he just continues to produce. He's such a consistent performer. And, he's wearing the captaincy well, Jane.
He is. And three-quarter time, mate, we saw Brad Scott kind of get him to address the team. You know, and he's really wanting to, kind of further progress Zach's leadership by doing it on his own accord, having that presence to address the team, having the confidence to address the team with the coach's support. So,
It was also the fact that he seemed to be having a bit of a hammy problem at that stage of that three-quarter time break. So I think he was just saying to him, yeah, Merritt, we need you, mate. Are you right to go? Because, we've still got 1 more quarter, mate. So, perhaps a bit of both there. But it is great that, Brad Scott's obviously backing him in that captaincy role and, as you say, giving that platform to, keep on involving himself as captain.
Yeah, just on that, let's hope there's no – it doesn't come out later on in the week that he's got a hamstring strain because the way our midfielder is at the moment, we don't really want to lose Zach Merritt. He's probably one of the least we could afford to lose.
Yep.
So, hopefully everything's all good there. Ben Hobbs, mate, I've heard him referred to now as the Goblin. So I'm not sure the story on the back or the history on the nickname. I can imagine it's his tenacious sway or – you know what I mean? But I'm sure the story will come out at some point. But what did you pick up on that, mate, the Goblin?
I could make up a story on what I might presume, but, perhaps that's, for a less family-friendly podcast. But, obviously it's kind of good, you know, that, you've endeared yourself to a club and you get a nickname like that. Yeah, and it doesn't seem to be like a put down. He seems to be wearing it with a bit of pride. I love the way he goes about it. He's just so hard at it. Ben Hobbs, and yes, there's a couple of times he's made a couple of blues. With kicking or making a handball that's unfortunately had a bit too much on it, and saw West Coast take it away. But you know that he's working bloody hard to make sure. The ball gets in the hands of the red and black, and to kick a couple of goals, I thought it was a good reward for effort. I'm really liking how his game's developing, Jane.
Yeah, and another one who had 5 tackles. So, he doesn't do it one way. He does the defensive things as well.
Yep.
So he's really, an important player to us now. And, it'd be interesting when Setterfield and Parrish and Shiel come back. I still think he'll find himself in the middle at times. I think Brad Scott will really want to keep developing him there because that's obviously an area of strength for him.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Wiedemann had a tough night, mate, in terms of he had a couple of opportunities, couldn't make the most of them.
Yep.
Did take 6 marks, which might surprise some. But unfortunately, couldn't add to his goal-kicking tally.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I said, I think he'll be one that would be really keen for Peter Wright to give him some support.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and that's the thing. Like, even though he didn't have a lot of luck up forward, he did come out to take those marks, so he stayed involved to a degree. Kind of do need more from him, but we didn't make it easy for him. Our entries inside 50 were bloody atrocious. Wasted the footy a number of times. Either just kicking it straight up in the air where you know, the smart players like a Hearn. I just kind of chop them off every time, you know, along with Barras. Like, they're very good defenders, Jane. So, yeah, you're not making Wiedemann's job any easier by not kicking it to his advantage. So, look, he had an average game, but, yeah, he'll lift from here.
Will Snelling, he's fighting his way into this side. You know, he's really had to earn his games.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually got some midfield time. Mate. I saw him in a number of centre bounces. But he kicked a couple of nice snap goals, and you know, that'll keep him important. He needs to keep scoreboard pressure on. Yeah, you know, he can keep adding goals and doing his bit role, so to speak, you know, without being condescending. He's just got to take his opportunities when they get there. But yeah, I thought he played quite a serviceable game for us.
Yeah, he did, James. He's one I actually considered for votes. Just because, like, you just saw him involved in so many bits of play, not necessarily getting the footy, but whether it's, you know, using some body positioning to make sure our bloke had another couple of metres of space, or, you know, getting a fist in there, you know, to keep the ball away from the opposition. He's a smart footy player. He's, you know, not the biggest bloke out there, but he certainly, when he tackles, he seems to, he really means it, Jamie, and he brings him to ground. So I thought he played you know, quite a decent game. Had the three tackles, which is great to see. Yeah, six contested, so he works pretty hard at getting the footy, as well as having the five score involvement. So as a small forward, which is kind of the role he was playing in that pocket there, I thought he played a pretty solid game.
Yes, now Jordan Ridley, fantastic game by Jordan, I thought, and he's just so important to us the way that he uses the football, and he's quite a good mark, reliable mark, right? And, you know, 28 disposals, 18 kicks, 10 handballs, and 8 marks. So good game from Jordan Ridley, and, you know, thank God he's back, because when he was out with that concussion, it really hurt us. And, I know it's hindsight, but I really think we would have knocked off Port that day if Jordan had stayed on the ground.
Yeah, it was a big out for us. So to have him out there, on the day was pretty big for us. I thought he's just so consistent. Really, when he takes a mark, like you just have he's so reliable down there, Jane. I think to take 5 intercept possessions. And when he uses the footy, like as you say, 28 disposals, went at 96.4%, Jane. So really used it well. I thought he played a really good game for us. Jane was pretty important down there. So, yeah, another really good game from Jordan Ridley.
Great to see this man back, Jaden Laverty.
Mm.
15 disposals, 12 kicks, 3 handballs, 8 marks, 1 tackle. But, he looked a bit rusty early, I thought, as you would. But, he's missed a number of weeks, but... really important addition, and you know, I think he'll get better as he gets reinquated with the back line.
Yeah, absolutely, James. As you say, pretty a bit rusty early, but as the game wore on, you saw he came into it more and more. And a couple of times he got a fist in, right at the last second. So, you just think, he's still able to read it really well. When he did get more confidence, he was taking more marks. I took the 8 marks in the end, which was really good. Used it pretty well, went at nearly 90% by foot, which is great to see. And, you just love having a good, solid defender out there like Jaden Laverty. So, I thought he played quite a solid game for us.
Archie Perkins playing his 50th game, as mentioned earlier. He had the 15 disposals, 13 kicks, 2 handballs, 4 marks, and the 5 tackles. And a goal. So a pretty good game for Archie without being brilliant.
Yeah, I thought, like, again, it's just one of these games where he kind of finds a bit of the footy and shows when he does have it, he can use it well, stands up in tackles, which is great to see. But just to see him laying more tackles himself is really big. Like, the 5 tackles, I think, is a really big effort from Archie, because that's certainly an effort that he would have been challenged on to develop over the year, and he's absolutely done that. So I think Yeah, without being outstanding, as you say, James, I think he played quite a solid game for us. Had the 8 contested possessions, which shows like he's not just getting the easy ball; he's working hard for it. So, no, I think he's developing quite well.
Yeah, Nick Hind. Yeah, he had the 18 disposals, 14 kicks, 4 handballs, 6 marks, just the 1 tackle. And look, some of his kicking, mate, can make you a bit nervous. But yeah, his speed is important. And there's a couple of times where, you know, he really tracked down the West Coast opponent, Petrucelli especially, who has got lightning pace. If you don't have a quick player on him, he can really hurt you. So I thought Hines still had an important role to play.
Yeah, he did, mate. Particularly against Petrucelli, to keep him accountable, I thought was good. I think this is probably one of his better defensive games. I've seen Jane. While he's sometimes he's kicking, you're not sure if it'll come off. He actually went at 95%. Disposal efficiency, which I think, big credit to him. I think he probably played within himself a bit. He's probably had a bit of feedback. Obviously, we don't know. We're just supporters, but I think he probably had a bit of feedback about him taking a bit too much on at times. So I think he's more considered, and I think he played a fairly solid game in the end.
Yeah, he did, and stats can always make you look silly, because I thought a couple of times he sprayed it, but maybe he's credited for being still on target because one of our players ran onto it. I'm not sure how that works. Maybe that's how it works. But Dyson Heppel, he had plenty of the footy, mate. 24 disposals, 14 kicks, 10 handballs, 13 marks, and there's a triple double, mate.
Yeah, there is a triple double.
But look, some of his kicking as well. Like I'm sure the stats will say he went at 100%, 83%. Some of his kicking can be slow, but I think Ben Dixon said they should nickname him 45 because he always goes on a 45 degree, a short kick. So he did take the safe option, but again, that's probably coached into him because we've seen when Dyson takes a bit too much, can turn the ball over. So I'm sure that coaching has been put into lessen that kind of situation happening.
Yep.
But he's an important player to us still. And has really rebounded well after having some really early criticism, which I thought was justified at the time because some of his turnovers were horrendous.
Yep.
But he's really, really rebounded well, and I'm really happy for Dyson that's the way. We all think this will be his last season. You didn't want him to have that. You didn't want him to become like, jeered and so forth. And I thought it was heading that way, but he's really taken important marks, and you feel more endeared, I think, seeing the player really step up.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's another one I really considered for votes, James. So certainly an honourable mention. I thought he was really important for us at times, and particularly when West Coast seemed to be really hemming us in down back. As much as we bemoan, it was a bit slow in his decision making at times, like not just in this game, but many games. I think he made quite considered use of the footy. Basically always hit a target, and those 45s that Ben Dixon was talking about, it was more because he had a bloke 20 metres away, a bit more inboard, and he was hitting him every time, which is good rather than him taking a 45 on a dangerous kick. His marking in particular was important, and there was one really big one, James, I saw when we're finding it hard to get out. And Dyson Heppel, like he just said, yep, sit it on my head, I'll take this. And like we did, and he proved his medal there because he was able to outbody his opponent, obviously backs his skill there and take the mark, which was really important to help us get it going up forward through the ground. So I thought it was really important for us on the day just to settle things down. When West Coast would get a bit of run on. So I thought he played quite a solid role in the end.
Yes. Sam Durham, last week's hero. He had a tough night. Just had the 10 disposals. Yeah. Only 2 kicks, 8 handballs, 1 mark and 1 tackle. It's not the stat line you would expect from Sam. And you wonder how much of last week You know, was there a little bit of a letdown to that? Yeah, maybe I'm reading too much into that. But, yeah, you just seem, you know, well, you didn't see him for a lot of long periods of the game.
Yep.
Yeah, so whether he was doing the defensive role, I'm not sure. But there was a long time. He just had the 72 metres gained, which is something that you wouldn't expect to see from a wingman. Like, wingman usually run and carry and, you know, kick the ball forward. But, and we know one of those kicks, mate, one of his two kicks went directly out of bounds, so on the full. So, yeah, it was a tough night for Sam, but, yeah, hopefully saving better stuff for next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, well, you just got to wear these with, you know, blokes like Sam Durham, because he's got a fair bit of talent, the young bloke, but he still has a lot of development left to go. I mean, we just have to remember, like, he only you know, came to us last year, and he's had to work his way into AFL. I think he's acquitted himself quite well so far, but he has a lot of development left to go, Jane, defensively and to back himself at the level. So, I think he had a pretty average game, to be honest with you, but I'll back him in to only grow from here.
Yeah, well, he had credits in the bank, mate, after last week.
Absolutely.
His last quarter last week was brilliant against the Tigers. So Nick Bryan finally got his opportunity. He's been waiting. It's had the 6 disposals, 3 kicks, 3 handballs, 2 marks and the 1 tackle and just a 10 hit out. So, look, it wasn't his best game by any chance, but when he does have the footy, I know, and he had 3 times, in terms of kicking, he does kick the ball very well. He's quite a skilled ruckman.
Yeah, he is, Jam. I will say, though, that it really showed, as much as he was dominating the VFL, there is a big difference towards VFL and jumping into the AFL system, particularly against, you know, Bailey Williams, who, is quite a good ruckman himself. And I think in terms of physicality, Nick Bryan, did get showed up. But it's probably only through games like this where, you know, Nick Bryan can think, I'm ready to play. Why aren't they playing me? Then when you do play, he got outclassed on the day, James, I think you'd have to say.
Yeah.
And so then that probably reset is for him. Okay, yeah, I still have to work on this area. And then he can go to work from there. Because, like, if you think you're smashing things and, he's probably not going to develop in the VFL back against, those level of ruckman he's playing in down there, as opposed to the AFL level where he got found out. I think that's not to say that he's not a good ruckman. He absolutely is. Like, he's got the craft. He's a good use of the footy, as you say, James. Took a couple of really nice marks. In terms of physicality, that's where he still needs to work on. So, hopefully really, cracks into the gym and, grows from that that game. And it's kind of a difficult one, James, because, while I say that, you kind of have to balance that out against, well, future, Phillips isn't going to be there forever. So you need to get games into Bryan, because he certainly wouldn't want to see another team give him opportunity that we're unable to give him. And then all of a sudden we lose all that development that we've put into him just because we weren't getting the output right then. So, a bit of a difficult one for the coaches, but I think, overall, it's good for him to get a chance, but just an average game overall for Nick Bryan.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because we've got Todd Goldstein this week. So, that probably suits more like an Andrew Phillips.
Yep.
Having a bigger body go up against Todd. But, it's pretty harsh to bring in Nick Bryan for a game and then say, see you later, go back to the twos. So I'll be interested to see how Brad Scott goes there. So that's one to watch. And especially if, I don't know if you're going to bring Peter Wright back, you really don't want to be start sticking him in the ruck, where arms get tangled and tap outs and stuff like that. So I can't see them wanting to use, even if Peter Wright did play, him as a second ruck option, if you know what I mean. I think more Wiedemann would play that role.
Yep.
And you certainly wouldn't want Wiedemann going up against Goldstein during any part of the game.
No.
So,
no.
Yeah, so it's one for the coaches this week to analyse.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Stringer, Jake was, I thought he's more important the first half than he was the second.
Mm-hmm.
Had the 18 disposals, 13 kicks, five handballs, five marks and five tackles. So Jake's really added that part to his game. He's really, added that defensive element. But, he kicked a nice goal too. But I just think that's Jake's, minimum output, in terms of, just a Jake game that's, not spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit harshly judged because, for him to have a really good game, he's got to kick five and, have 10 clearances kind of thing.
Yep.
But, just a good game from Jake and just a standard Jake game, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I've read it a bit different because I kind of think it was pretty solid for us, and I think he was more selfless than any. Like he saw those couple of nice kicks he gave to Langford. Like one of them Langford kicked, and the other one he didn't. However, he still managed the two goal assists and kick his own goal, so he's still a threat forward. While we don't have Parrish, Scheel, Setterfield, he provides that bigger body in that midfield area to win a bit more of it. So I think to have six score involvements, have five contested possessions, and a couple of centre clearances. I think he done fairly well. Got us inside 50 on five occasions. So not outstanding numbers, but I still think he played an important role for us. In terms of Jake Stringer's development, like previously, if he wasn't kicking goals, then he wasn't performing for us. Whereas, in this kind of role that he's played the last couple of weeks, he's played the more team role and been fairly effective at it. So I think, overall, he had a pretty solid game.
Yeah, maybe I'm just looking for the spectacular too much with Jake. I'm kind of used to it. And as you say, it's been all or nothing with Jake.
Mm.
He's become more of consistent and more consistently a team player as well, which was the criticism last year. If you can remember, he was taking snaps and a few of the players' feedback was, what about us? So I'm glad that that's been readdressed. Mm. Mason Redmond was brilliant. 31 disposals, a career high. He had 23 kicks, 8 handballs, and 11 marks, and his run and carry is just fantastic. So, and he kicked a goal too, mate. Could have kicked another one, but he passed it off. And was that the tipper?
Langford,
and Langer's let him down. So I heard him say, I should have just taken a shot. But great game by Mason Redmond. And let's get this signature on. I know what Dodoro is doing, but added another zero, mate, and get him on the ground and contracted for another 4 or 5 years. That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. He's had a really good season. Like, yes, he's had a couple of down games, but overall, he's played really consistently. 30 odd disposals, take 11 marks is really big for us. I think it gives us that bit more control, and as you say, his running carry is really important. Yeah, to have nearly 600 metres gained is huge. He kicked that goal, but also had two goal assists. So he's doing things defensively and offensively. So 7 score involvements overall, 5 intercept possessions, 6 contested possessions. A bit over 93% efficiency, I thought it was a really good game from Mason Redmond. As I talked about earlier, just really nailed a couple of passes going forward. I think one to Guelphy. Might have been one to Langford as well. He's just showing he's a real clever footballer, James. And when you need some tough stuff done, he doesn't shirk away from it. So I think another good game from Mason Redmond.
And bugger off to the Crows if they're listening.
Yeah.
Brandon Zirk-Thatcher had a tough night at times. He's giving away a lot of centimetres, obviously, Toss Garland. Kept working tirelessly away and, took some important marks himself.
Mm.
Had the 7 kicks, the 5 handballs and the six marks. So, yeah, it wasn't his best game, but he certainly was an important player for us in terms of position wise.
He was, mate. And again, he gets a fist in there where you think he's been outpointed. So I think he had, quite another, solid game, Jane. Four intercept possessions, which is good to see. Still remained involved, even though I think Oscar Allen did have the better of him on the day. But I still think he played a solid role for us.
Yes, and there was one, I think at three-quarter time it may have been Brad Scott really said, it might have been halftime, they're going to keep backing Brandon Zirk. He's really won Brad's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically said, I'm going to just keep backing him because he's never let us down, which is great. Mac Welfi finally back, not in the role of sub, but actually on the ground and playing a full game. He set up a very important goal with that tap on, kicked a beautiful goal from a set shot and had another opportunity too, but just a 12 disposal, so you're not looking for that part of it, but you do have 8 kicks, 4 handballs, 5 marks and a couple of tackles, so really good game to introduce himself back into the senior side.
That's it, and 7 scoring performances as well, Jane. So I think, it was quite a solid return from Guelphy. As we've seen, like that forward pocket role can be, pretty difficult to get yourself involved in the games, but I think he, accounted for himself quite well. So, hopefully he'll just keep growing from here.
Nick Martin, I thought he was brilliant on the night. Just provided so much run, and it was really only his last two possessions, mate, probably let himself down. Quite bad turnovers, but I mean, prior to that, he'd just been brilliant. And he's had 22 kicks, 9 handballs, 10 marks, 3 tackles, and he's really providing so much run and carry. And, when you think about it, like he went at 77% and he had almost 600 meters gain. So he's had a really good game and probably one of his better ones, even though he kicked 5 goals on debut. I thought, as a wingman, this is probably one of his better wing games.
Yeah, it was, James. As you say, so much run and carry, and he's such a smart user, getting involved both up forward and down back, so roaming those wings quite well. Had a couple of goal assists and really could have set up quite a number of goals otherwise, but we just didn't put him through. I mean, we saw that one where he gave a nice one to Guelphy, and his kick to tip was really good, but just weren't able to capitalise on it. So it's those ones where he sets up from half back to like just bite off a beautiful kick to an opportunity he sees. Like he's got really good vision, Jane. And I think he's really starting to back himself more and more. And his running game is really good, just showing great running patterns. And that's how he's able to get that bit of extra space because he just keeps running all game. So I thought he played a really good game, Jane. Really good to see. And he's another one who's only been here for like a year and a half and had one preseason. So hopefully only just grow more from here.
Massimo D'Ambrosio, he came in as a sub again, like after last week. I thought he was really good, mate. He was ready to go. He was running around that half back line and had the 8 disposals in the quarter. 4 kicks, 4 handballs, the 3 marks and the 1 tackle. So Massimo will be looking for an opportunity to play a full game, I think, but it's one of those ones who goes out though.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I think he played fairly well for his time. I still find it puzzling that he's selected as a sub. I just don't think he's got the size to be to be able to fit into any role we need. And I know it's more of a team thing, but then you kind of stealing from Peter to pay Paul. We've seen previously where if we bring him on, then we have to move Langford back, and it just throws things a bit out of kilter. So yeah, as much as I think it's great for him to get an opportunity, I still question why D'Ambrosio is the sub. purely just given his size, Jane, I think. You need more of a utility in that role. For mine, that's just the way I see it. It would have been great for if he kicked that goal, but I did like that he bit it off and took the responsibility of the ping because it looked good off the boot, as you said before, Jane. So I think overall, solid. That's about all we can rate him off the limited opportunity he had.
Yeah. Anthony McDonald, Tim Woody, as I said, has seemed to struggle a bit on the night. Just had the 6 disposals for a full game. 3 kicks, 3 handballs, 2 marks, 1 tackle. But I think more the problem was is that when he did have opportunities, he was like a deer in the headlights and sometimes. Didn't have any time or awareness to make his decisions that used to be second nature to him.
Yep.
So, I'm sure he'd be disappointed in that. Just to went at 33% disposal efficiency, mate, of those 6 disposals. So, certainly wasn't a game you'd come to expect from Tipper. Mm. We want to keep supporting him, don't get me wrong. I don't know if you can justify your spot in the side with those kind of numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a tricky one because I'm not sure how much more he would develop in the twos. So I get the, and I've called for it. I think you should keep going in the ones, particularly when realistically, as much as we say we have more depth in that forward pocket role, the output there isn't the same. I think that, Owen Davey Jr., needs to work on quite a few things at the VFL level. At AFL, he kind of gets found out about, like that physicality, that want for the contest that I've talked about previously. Whereas at least McDonald Tipperary, like he wears a tackle, Jane. Like there's a couple of opportunities there. Like, as you said, normally he'd be able to bounce around. He's not quite there yet, but he still wore the tackle, was able to get a handball away. So still has that composure about him. Doesn't seem to have that confidence in front of the big sticks, but again, would he develop that at a greater rate in the VFL than the AFL? I don't think he would. Then from there, you've got the likes of Tex Wanganeen, who again isn't starring at VFL level. I think he's got a lot of good traits, but I think, in terms of output, Anthony McDonald Tipperary, I still think it's his spot to lose until someone takes it off him. Not his best game of the weekend, granted, but I feel like, like I talked about earlier, perhaps it's a factor of a number of things. He's had a massive preseason to lose as much weight as he has, acknowledging that he still has a bit of a way to go in terms of his body. So perhaps physically tired, emotionally tired from having to drag himself back from there. I do sort of wonder that you've had the two rounds of celebrating Indigenous footy, and he's a real figurehead for the Indigenous community. Whether he likes it or not, I know he enjoys being a leader, but it is still quite a big responsibility to take on, Jane. He obviously supports the development of young blokes like Wanganeen, like the Davey boys, like Mankara. But he's not been in that position before, Jane, where he's had that responsibility of leading those boys. And I'm sure, like all of us who have held or hold leadership positions, it's not always easy. And, perhaps that's sort of taken an emotional toll on him, which, can play out in terms of your footy. So I'll keep backing him in. Not his best game, but I still think, it is good to see Tipper out there because at the end of the day, we know he's best, can turn games for us.
Oh, and he's had some good games against North in the past, mate. So, I wasn't saying to drop him, but I was just thinking, like, it's hard to justify your position with that output, but as you say, the coaches will know best and they'll make the right decisions, I'm sure. Jai Menzies, thought he was good with his 9 disposals, but he kicked 2 important goals and was tenacious as ever with his tackling.
Yeah, he was, Jam. I thought he played quite serviceable role for us. It didn't break any records in terms of possessions or anything like that, but still quite a solid role down there. A couple of nice tackles, which is good to see. So I thought, fairly serviceable from John Menti.
Yeah, well, we got through them, mate, and it's now time to do the Don's Cast medal votes. So I'll let you lead it off.
Really, mate. Well, for me, I went one vote to Langford for the three goals there. Two votes I went to Jordan Ridley. For three, I went Mason Redmond. Four votes I went to Nick Martin. And five votes for me went to Zach Merritt. I thought he was fantastic, the captain. So you got my five. How about yourself, James? How'd you read it?
Similar player. Well, all the players are the same, but I've gone in a different order. I've gone five for Martin. I thought he was our best player on the night. Zach Merritt was brilliant. Gave him four. And Mason Redmond, three. Of his run and carry from the back line. I gave the two to Langford. I know he didn't have as many disposals as Ridley, but the three goals were important. And so I gave him two, and I gave one to Jordan Ridley for his great game. Apologies to many other players that were around the mark. Those are the five that jumped out at me.
Yep, absolutely. It can be tough to give him sometimes. All right, well, let's tally him up. So we'll go from the bottom as always. So we've got three votes apiece to Durham and Phillips, four votes to Zerk, Thatcher and Caldwell, five to Perkins, six to Draper, seven each to Hobbs and Setterfield, eight to Wiedemann, nine to Heppel, 12 to Kelly, 18 to Scheel, Stringers on 21, Martin on 22, Langford on 26, Ridley on 28, McGrath on 29, Parrish on 35, Merritt on 36, and still out in front, we've got Mason Redmond on 47 Don's Cast medal votes.
Yeah, well, Mason's still got a bit of a gap. He's got 12 on the next one. He's done well. Mason from the half back line. He was grabbing his wrist at a couple of times during that game, and apparently he's had a bit of a problem there.
Yep.
So hopefully nothing to keep him out of the side because he's so important to us. But yeah, great year so far from Mason Redmond, and hurry up and get that signature Dodds because I really don't want to see Mason playing for any other team than Essendon. Well, mate, that's it for another week. Till next week, go Bombers.
Go Dons.